It's wonderful to have you here. And really, we have so many people. They're just very close friends of ours, and it's wonderful. And we were involved with, actually traveled out of Rhema Bible Church for 17 years. Now, Brother Keaton, of course, he's a fellow church member. and then we got Deborah Banks over here. You know, give her a good hand. And all the ministers, just give them a good hand today. Thank you. The reason I pointed out Deborah is because she was the keyboardist, organist for Rhema, and traveled with Dad Hagen for several years. And she and Philip Slaughter helped us do some Holy Ghost meetings on the road, I think, at Jumer's. Remember that? That's years ago, yeah. So anyway, she's the wild one, you know. And we have just so appreciated over the years all the fellowship that God has brought us, and we just love y'all. Thank you for coming. It just blesses Pastor Jay and I, and I know that Pastor Nancy, you pull from her and the ministry that she has for our lives. And thank you, Spirit of Faithers, and all the visitors. Thank you for coming and being faithful. We love you. We appreciate you, and praise the Lord. You didn't have to come out on a Tuesday morning, but you did because you're hungry, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, I'm just kind of circling the airport to see which way, you know, we still say that every now and then, to see which way we want to go. We were so blessed by the service last night. And I was in just preparing and getting ready for the ministry today. I was just prompted to go a little bit different direction. So we'll see. We might change mid-course, but that's all right. We'll just see what God wants. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. We want the highest flow that God has. And Pastor Jay and I, we minister differently on the road. And we tell the Spirit of Faith Church, you need to learn to pull on us in these special meetings on not just that pastoral. And really what God wants, and whatever he wants is the highest flow for the service. Amen. So we'll just pull on that. But I will say this. I do believe that I'm preparing Pastor Nancy as our main speaker, and I'm really preparing the way for her. And I have some things in my heart along that line. But we're going to be talking a little bit about faith. And in Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And we'll read that in the Amplified. And he says, "I want you to know how great is my solicitude for you." I don't know what solicitude means, but I'm sure, you know, it means something important. What's that? Prayer? Okay. Oh, so he's soliciting for them. Prayer. Thank you. I appreciate that. I usually get it and look it up and all that. But solicitude, solicitations. All right. "How severe an inward struggle I am engaged in for you and for those believers at Laodicea, and for all who, like yourselves, have never seen my face and known me personally." And he's not saying that he's in doubt and unbelief, or he's in worry or grave concern that they're going to make it or not. What he's saying is basically, I want to give you what God has. And it's important to me. I take it very seriously that I want to minister what God has for you, to encourage you, to help you. And he goes on there and he tells us what he wants to do there as a leading of the Lord to write, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I want you to understand, he says to be encouraged.
Yes.
And being knit together. Now, I liken that. This illustration came to me. You're sitting down, you're putting a puzzle together. And you're encouraged when you have all the pieces together. You're encouraged when everything's fitting. And you're encouraged when it actually looks like the picture. But discouragement can set in when you get almost through and you've got like two or three pieces and you can't find them anywhere. And just like, okay, what's going on here? And I can't quite see what the picture is here. And discouragement can set in, but he's saying being it together, and really that's talking about a flow. And we know in love, so faith works by love, but hang on here, we're going to get something. And it says, attaining to all the riches of full assurance of understanding. And when we look that up, attaining to actually means in the Greek, arriving at a point or purpose of one's faith. So Paul, he wanted to come to them, and by the leading of God, he needed to help them to arrive at a point of purpose of one's faith, reaching a certain belief. He needed to help their faith. He needed to help set them on course for what God's purpose was for their life. Amen. And you can liken that as a conductor, and you've got a river, and you've got different paths, divergent paths that go. But there's maybe a stream ahead, or there's a location ahead. And the conductor, he's not going to take you down all the different paths. He's going to take you the best course that will get you. And sometimes he may have to divert a little bit because maybe there's a storm here. Or divert a little bit because maybe there's something in the way. So, or maybe this is shallow water. And he knows these things. Why? Because he's skilled.
Amen.
You see, Pastor Nancy is bringing us skill. The ministers in these services are bringing us skill to help us to arrive someplace, to arrive in faith for whatever God needs us to walk into, whether that's healing, whether that's prosperity, the plan of God for our life overall. And we take it very seriously that to prepare and get ready and hear from God. You know, come clear from Africa. Just a minister to you. Amen. And we take it very seriously. And that's what Paul's saying. Attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, we know that assurance is a faith term. And really, assurance means confidence. And just bear with me as I give you some terms here, because I think it helps us. Full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So notice here we have a progression. We have knowledge, we have understanding, and then we have wisdom. And we could look at that as the knowledge of God's word. And you can look at a scripture just like a conductor or a captain of a ship, I should say, would look at a map. You can look at God's word and just like you would to look at a map. But that word, you've got to have understanding. You've got to have understanding that it's for you and where you need to take it. And really, that understanding flows together with that knowledge, and that understanding flows together with wisdom, because we know that the hearers and the doers of the word are what?
Blessed,
but they're wise. In Matthew 7:24, that's the scripture. So those who hear and do the word are wise. So we learn from the scriptures what wisdom is, those who are hearing and doing. And Joshua says those who observe to do. In other words, you're looking at it, you're observing it at every angle, you're hearing it, what, with the ears of your faith. And in your heart, you come to a place of understanding. This is what I need. In other words, you could take Isaiah 53:3-5 there. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. So it's telling you, it's giving you some knowledge there. And by his stripes, we are healed. In 1 Peter, it says we were healed, right? So we have knowledge there, but we look at that at every angle and we study that, and then faith rises in our heart. Faith comes by hearing in the word of God. But did you know we all have a measure of faith? So really, you could say faith rises by hearing. And when we're hearing the word of God, we gain understanding or faith or a belief, or you could say revelation. So understanding is revelation, is faith, is confidence. It's an assurance of understanding. It's a confident expectation. You are expecting that what that word says to come to pass. Now, for you specifically, if you want that word to work for you, you're going to have to take that understanding a little bit farther, and you're going to have to get more understanding. In other words, how do I get it to work for me? So you've got to have wisdom in order to find another scripture that helps you take hold of that.
Amen.
So again, knowledge and understanding and wisdom are all flowing together. And really, wisdom is just applied faith,
Amen.
Applied understanding. We're applying that. But notice, if you go to Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Whoever says to this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, when you come praying, believe that you receive. So we know that we can speak to the mountain, or we can go to God and say, hey, Father, I have this mountain, and I'm just asking you in Jesus' name to take care of that mountain. So we can say it, or we can pray it, but then we come and we give him thanksgiving for it. And there are other scriptures that talk about that. So all of these scriptures, just like Abraham, he gave glory to God. He was strengthened in what? Faith by giving glory. So we know that our giving glory, giving thanksgiving ahead of time, before we see it, before we feel it. Because just like what Pastor Jay was talking about on Sunday morning, the spirit of faith believes it before we see it. So you take all these scriptures, you've got knowledge in all of these scriptures, and you take that knowledge and you meditate on it, and you get further revelation. It's for me. This is how I use it.
Amen.
This is who I am.
Amen.
In Christ. And we take that further and we apply it, and it just becomes manifold wisdom and knowledge and understanding and wisdom, and it flows in a multifaceted, manifold circle.
Amen.
Constantly getting knowledge, constantly getting understanding, constantly getting wisdom, because you're applying these things, and then we become skilled. So why are we in these services? And I've asked our congregation that many times, why are you here? To get understanding. To get in God's word, and we have a knowledge, but just like that captain of the ship, he's looking, I can just see him, he's looking at that map, and he's determining the best way to get to Timbuktu. And we need somebody that's skilled. I don't want a captain that just started yesterday, just like I wouldn't want a surgeon. You know, I'm not having surgery anytime that I know of, praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, if somebody's going to do surgery on me, I want somebody that didn't just go to school yesterday. Is that right? You want somebody that's skilled. So they're looking at the map. They're looking at the manual. They're constantly learning. A surgeon is going to school and they're learning things.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And we can get answers if we will look right.
Amen.
So what does it say in Proverbs 4:20-22?
Yeah.
What does it say there? Attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them.
Amen.
We've got to find God's path for our life.
Amen.
But you're not going to find it at the local pub. You're not going to find it staying home and, you know, jokingly we say watching Seventh Heaven. Highway to Heaven, whatever. Yeah, I guess that's back in the 80s. You're not going to find God's plan by doing your own plan. See, we think what we think is right. And, you know, I'll back up. Before these meetings start, if there's an area that I feel like, okay, I've missed it, you know, I've generally, if I miss it, I just learn to repent immediately. I just learn to get it right. Then I move on. I don't want to dwell on it. I just move it on. I'm not going to live in condemnation. But how many know that you really, I have a talk with God. And it's like, Lord, I want everything I need out of these services. Now, I'm not just jumping ship here and just with a novice captain.
Right.
No, I'm getting in a ship, and we've got places to go.
Amen.
And Pastor Nancy has understanding.
Yeah.
And the ministers that God has here have understanding, and they've got wisdom. Because they've been applying these things for years. They've got manifold wisdom in the things, and they understand how we can get there. But if we come with preconceived ideas of this is how I'm just supposed to be in life, and this is God's plan for me, that may be true, whatever specific thing that you believe God said to you. But I'll give you an illustration. It's like somebody came to me once, and they were all excited, but they were a little bit, feeling like God was hitting them over the head. They had lost a lot of weight just in the last 6 months. That's great. That's awesome. But they were feeling like God wanted them to write a book about how to lose weight. And I'm thinking, how long have you lost? You know, have you kept it off? 6 months? No. No, you don't understand. You need at least 5 to 10 years under your belt before you start teaching somebody how to lose weight. Because likely, and I'm not trying to prophesy over you, likely you're going to gain it back about 3 or 4 times and then lose it again, okay? I'm in transition right now. We're getting there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're going to get there. But somebody, this, and it's a preconceived idea of this is what I need to do for God to be pleased with me. And I'm like, no. Just leave the book, just leave that behind there. Just come to the services and just first of all, learn who you are in Christ. Lay down all the natural preconceived ideas of what you think you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to move, what you need for your everyday life, how my husband should be, how my wife should be. Just leave all these preconceived ideas and let's just have a talk with God and say, Father, I lay all my plans down, everything I think. Now, I'm sure y'all hear from God, and there may very well be things that you're doing right, but I'm just saying in this type of an atmosphere, there's light that's continually shining.
Yeah.
So I pray, God, is there anything I need to change?
Yeah.
Not with condemnation.
Right.
Is there anything I need to change? Is there anything I need to hear? Is there anything I need to add?
Yeah.
Is there anything I need to take away?
Amen.
Anything. And I'm talking mainly about spiritual things, but God may deal with you about something in the natural.
Right.
I remember years ago, I was breaking out in a rash. And I was believing, I believed that I'd received, and I was speaking my healing, thanking God that I was healed and whole. And it was working in me. And it just bloop, as I was just getting with the Lord, take flax oil. Oh, okay. And I started taking that, and the rash went away. See, my system needed flax oil. Well, do y'all need to run to the store and get flax oil? No, I'm not saying that you do. But, it's kind of like Pastor Jay, years ago, he was having indigestion type issues. And the Lord dealt with him, stopped drinking apple juice. But he wouldn't tell people what the Lord had told him not to do. He just told the testimony of when I stopped doing that, all the pain left. Why? Because then people think I can't drink apple juice. Well, there's nothing wrong with apple juice, unless God tells you. Like Dad Hagen said, somebody came to him and said, is it a sin to drink lemonade? Well, as far as I know, it's not a sin. But if you stop, I'm sure God bless you. What's God saying to you? So the spiritual things and our heart being open, not just going to another meeting. I mean, excuse me. I can do a lot of things. I mean, I just soon go and work with my roses at Eagle Ranch. That's where we live. I'm talking to the Lord about whether it's the sin of worry to go out and look at my roses about 7 times and see if they've grown in the last, half hour. I'm like, we're getting on top of it, amen. I guess I just like to look at my roses and I speak to them. How are you doing today, guys? Did you know you're blessed? No more of that fungus. We understand. Do you understand that? But then I give them what they need. You know, what is it? 20-20-20 or whatever. We give them fertilizer and we give them fungus stuff in the dirt. You know, and I enjoy working with my roses. See, I got things to do in life. So I'm not just going to come sit in a meeting and waste my time. But it's never a waste of time to do what God tells us to do. And it's never a waste of time to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he's much more important than my rose bushes, you understand? Really, they're his rose bushes. He made them. And those rose bushes can fade away, and they will someday. And we will go to heaven, and we will answer for what we do, where we go, how we fellowship. So when we come to these services, we're really coming to meet with Jesus. And we prepare our hearts ahead of time and say, Lord, what do we need? We start with knowledge. But then specifically, we gain an understanding, just like Isaiah 53. What do we need? Do you need healing? Do you need wholeness? Well, let's find out how to apply that. And let's start walking in it. And let's just start thanking God. Amen?
Amen.
And then any natural thing, I tell our congregation, just like we eat food, drink water. If God deals with you, take supplements. Be wise. You really don't have to have God deal with you to take supplements necessarily, but you need the wisdom of God in what to take. And some people's systems are different than others, so I don't want to get in your face and start telling you need to take this, this, and this. You understand? And there's so many helps that will help us along that line, along the line of in the internet. There's good books. And any time that I take a supplement, I check my heart. It's like, Lord, is this the right thing? And some people say, well, I just live by faith. Well, I guess you just, drink water and breathe air. You don't eat food. You don't do anything else. For goodness sake, your body needs some supplements, okay? And all the conventional food we have doesn't necessarily, and you can eat organic all day long, and you can eat 50 apples and not get the, you understand. So just use wisdom. Check your heart. Learn the wise things. Don't necessarily always ask your conventional doctor. You may have to go to a holistic doctor. Well, I'm moving right along. That was all free. So knowledge, and then we gain understanding, or really understanding is revelation. Understanding is seeing what we need to see, and then we apply it to our lives, and it becomes wisdom.
Amen.
When somebody is leaving for the store, for instance, and you say to them, hey, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the store. Oh, okay. And you see them walk out the door. And then a friend comes and said, hey, where did John go? Oh, I see they went to the store. Oh, did you see him go to the store? I saw him walk out the door. They told me they went to the store. You see, the word says what we need to see. But we will only see it if we look into the word and let it talk to our spirits, not our head. What do you see in the word? And then we apply it. What we see in God's word, we apply in our lives. Now, I want you to go very quickly with me. Is this all right?
Yes.
I'm really just preparing your hearts for the further services. I think that helps us, right?
Amen.
So in Hebrews chapter 1, actually, not 1:11. Go to Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. Or you could say, by faith we see. By faith we have revelation. That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Were framed means to make complete. Now, you could look at it this way. You may look in a picture and see a couple trees, and they're pretty, and but you don't know what's on each side of those. You're just seeing that maybe a postcard from Yellowstone Park. And you see a couple trees there, and maybe it's the fall time. You can tell it's fall, but you can't really tell. I don't know. Is the Royal Gorge in that area? Well, anyway, so you have a picture of those trees, but maybe off to the side, you got the Royal Gorge. Maybe off to this side, you've got mountains. Maybe off to this, but you wouldn't know that unless you went there. How do we see a picture? You know, you come and you're only seeing a certain thing. But God sees it as complete. In other words, He's framed your life. He sees everything you should be walking in. He sees you healed. He sees you prospered. He sees everything. But, well, why am I not experiencing that? Because He expects you to use faith to get there. He expects you to be trained, to listen to the captain of the ship, to find the paths that you need to go down to get to the explicit, the destination you need to go to, arrive to, and even to get wisdom of what that destination is. You see, you need a wider scope there. You're seeing a picture, maybe just a few trees. And you can live there the rest of your life, or you can just have more. I want more. So I lay down my preconceived ideas. I say, Father, if I've missed it in any area, and I'm not going digging in the toy box of doubt, you know, of sin, looking in my past, saying, okay, did I miss it there? No, just plead the blood. But if He brings something up, then I'm sorry, Father. And if He shows you, okay, you need to talk to your spouse about that, or gives you specific direction. Otherwise, like Pastor Nancy said last night, just let it go.
Amen.
Don't bring shame into these services.
Amen.
Your heart will condemn you if what's in your heart is condemnation. Because we could go very quickly. Now, I understand that. I'll explain that statement in 1 John 3. Actually, 1 John. Yeah, 1 John 3. Let me explain that to you. As we're talking about faith, we're talking about assurance or confidence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in a word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because he just got through saying in 16, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we know that's part of His purpose and His plan every day, to be walking in love, because our faith works by love, right? Our love works by faith as well. And all the fruit of the Spirit work by faith and love. Now, verse 19, and by this we know. In other words, we have a knowledge. We know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before Him. How do we assure our hearts before Him? Find out what we need to know. Or I guess I should say it this way. Get an understanding of His knowledge. What is He saying to us specifically? By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Is that for Sister Susie? Is that for me? Who's that for? Well, it's for all of us. But we need to take hold of any specific thing that we need in our life. You need prosperity? Get understanding of the knowledge of God's Word. Find the prosperity scriptures. Get in them. Meditate in them. And then realize this is for me. But find out how you take it. Because in prosperity, as a prosperity farmer, we believe that we receive, yes, but we plant seed. And we're tithers. The windows of heaven are open unto us, but we've got to understand this. And a farmer's going to have wisdom. He will plant corn if he wants corn. He will plant squash if he wants squash. So knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and it all flows together in order to get the crop that he needs. So in prosperity, what do you need?
Yes.
what you need specifically. Well, that was all free. Let me tell you what I went here for. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. If our heart condemns us, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, well, is our heart condemning us or is our heart not condemning us? We have confidence toward God. If our heart condemns us, that means condemnation is in our heart. That means that's what we've been feeding on. That means that's what we've been allowing inside. Condemnation, really, you could say, are you allowing fear in? Are you allowing doubt and unbelief in? Are you allowing what the devil is saying? Is that what you're hearing? Now, the Lord said it to me, be in atmospheres that are conducive for spiritual growth. What atmospheres are you putting yourself in? Are you putting the local church first? Or your desires and your wants? Well, I can study the word here. I understand that. But God said not to forsake the assembling together of the believers. Why? Because we need to be around a supply of those who walk in dominion so that we can have dominion. Did you hear that last night? Are we going to be able to walk in dominion if we're not around the house of God where dominion is being taught? Where we're around other believers who are walking in dominion. And we're at all different levels. Maybe you're not completely walking in all the dominion you need to. But dominion isn't just knowing your authority. You see, that starts with knowledge. You start to learn what you have in Christ. You start to learn your authority. You start to learn, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I'm righteous. In other words, I am forgiven. And in redemption, we know that, number one, we're forgiven. And in Christ, we come daily, and we can just say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus. I missed it. But then we're healed and whole in redemption. And then also, we're prospered. We're freed from all destruction. So there's a knowledge there, right? But walking in that dominion, we've got to get further understanding how to apply that in our lives. And then when we apply it, we become wise. Because the hearers and the doers of God's word will become wise. And that's the only way that we can make it to our destination. That we can, and we've got to be listening to the ultimate captain of the ship, which is Jesus. But we need pastors. We need ministers that our pastors point to and say, hey, they'll lead you in the way of dominion. Whatever it is that Pastor Nancy has in our heart tonight, we should be preparing our hearts. Father, I don't want to just hear knowledge. I want it to, excuse the term, just that it would hurt so good. Let it hurt. Let it change me. I don't want to be the same person. I want to live until I'm in my 80s plus. But if I keep going the way of doubt and unbelief, sickness and disease may take me out. See, Pastor Jay and I, we try to warn people when we have revelation. So if you're coming to services, that's wonderful. But if you're not doing what the revelation that we're giving, if you're not doing, if you're not walking in that, you're going to be taken out. Well, I love my family. I need them to help me. And, you know, it's like beating a dead horse. It's like getting blue in the face, you know. Paul said, I come to you, and it's my struggle to give you the best, to encourage you in your faith. And we don't want to get in your face and get you condemned. See, that's your own heart. Why? Because you're the one that put condemnation there. You're the one. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Pastor Nancy, you know, when she disciplines her son, and he comes and says, Mom, you did that. No, you did it. Yeah. That discipline came because you walked in disobedience. Yeah. And this is the consequence. See, we've said things to try to save people's lives.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on.
And Pastor Nancy and the ministers this week may say things that could save our life. So first of all, I want to come into these meetings and say, Father, anything that I need changed. And I'm laying down my preconceived ideas of what I think, where I should move, what I should do. I just lay it down. And I'm asking you for revelation. And first of all, Father, you have already healed my body. You really ought to talk to him like that. Not, Lord, I need you to heal me, because that doesn't get you anywhere. I need you to heal me, and you have healed me are two different things. You have healed me means he did it, and I received it. Now I'm thanking him for it. But you could be inhibiting the way, or the bridge is out because you're not walking in love. You're not hearing maybe sometimes what your pastor is saying to get that stuff out of your home. Stop allowing your children to rule the roost. See, we try and we talk to people, but if they won't listen to us, they're going to miss God's best. They're going to miss. And we know some things for people. God has a beautiful destination for you, and he wants you to see it. But if you can't get past disobedience, you can't see that destination. Let's just come and say, Father, I've missed it in areas. I lay it down. But now I just receive. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I receive it. Now, Father, you help me with the strength. I draw from strength to do what I need to do. I draw from strength to put down distractions. I draw from strength. Hallelujah. Sanduku oshe mo ondind per shnong e sun kumband it e le bo ursh dikvete. And you've seen this in your own church, Pastor Ike. You've seen, I can't do that. I'm from Africa. I can't do that. Padushangandita. Your background's different than mine. There are some in your congregation that believe that. But as you teach them, all of us are in Christ. And you are teaching them that. But be encouraged. Be encouraged. Keep touching on that. Keep teaching. Keep pressing in and saying, you are in the same boat I'm in. Jump in my boat. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were on. Jump in this boat. And we'll go to the right path. But if you keep seeing yourself in the past, that's the boat you'll jump in, and you'll go to wrong destinations. You'll go where you are thinking about. Put yourself in the boat of righteousness. Put yourself, and condemnation will go away when you put righteousness in your heart. I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. I mean, you're getting ready for the meeting, and the devil starts pounding you. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. Shut up. And just understand, he's going to do that to steal the word from you, but to steal your confidence. But you just say, nope. I'm righteous. Now, Father, if there's anything I need to talk to anybody about, if there's anything I need to get right, I just give it to you, and you'll help me to see that, and you'll show me that. But just, Lord, be merciful with me. And I thank you for helping me to get where I need to get. So along the line of our destination, there we may need to get off and, you know, repent and apologize and do some things, but get back on the boat, you know, and let's go to the right destination. Amen. Don't get far from the boat. And really, it's just best to stay in the boat. You understand? But I'm just saying, sometimes we got to take care of this. You understand? Have you ever, God, you know, we're going to wrap this up. Let me give you an illustration. Several years ago, you know, when I was learning to play the piano, and I was doing pretty good, and I was playing in the healing school in the morning classes there. And you know, when I first started, I think what was that song? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh That is within me. That's how I sang it. Because I was just learning to play. Yeah. But I just did it by faith. You know, first I started because I played my guitar for years, but then I was playing the piano. And I just learned by faith. And I would go to a friend's house and play their keyboard because they were at work for a couple hours, and then I'd go on to work. So I was getting skill in there. Well, anyway, Brother Keith Moore, he did the afternoon services when he was in town. And he called down and said, is there anybody that can play the keyboard? I need somebody to play for the service. And they came to me. You know, I was a little bit beyond the bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. You know, I had played for a while, and I actually thought I was doing pretty decent. But I'm like, oh, my goodness, play for Brother Moore? No! You know, I just thought, you know, I'm going to get on there, I'm going to freeze up, and then he's going to think, you know, who's this weirdo on the keyboard? But the Lord had been dealing with me prior to that, several weeks prior to that, to gain more skill in that area, to gain more training in there, to spend more time. You've been there, done that, you understand? And I didn't do it. So that day when he called somebody up, I missed the boat. And I should have been there. And the Lord dealt with me, if you had been skilled, if you had listened to me, it would have opened other doors for you, and you could have helped me in helps ministry in other arenas that would have brought more understanding, more light, more blessing for your path and my plan for your life. You know, ultimately, I believe that I was going into fivefold ministry. You know, I get married. I was in fivefold ministry and that. But at the time, that would have brought, that was a destination I needed, but I didn't, and therefore I missed the boat on that one. So I had a diversion, and basically I'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. Now let's end with this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. See, God wanted to get me some places, but I turned down the opportunity and didn't get skilled. Now I did some things and got more skilled and really got to play where I was playing. And when we got married, I was playing the keyboard and singing and did special music. So I finally got that skill, but I made a diversion. And God got me where I needed to go, but there were some things I missed along the line. And some of us will never know what we missed. There are services we think it's okay to be out of church for 2 months. And we miss what we needed. Some of us will never know what we missed. Now, I say that, and some people think, there she goes again. No, that's your help.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you went on vacation and you missed it. You know, I'm not saying that. You know, we can get legalistic with that. But we will miss the boat if we're not in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth and we get skilled in these places. And then we're ready when somebody calls us up, says, hey, I need you in this. If your pastor calls, hey, I need you in this helps ministry area. No, I'm not ready for that, pastor. I'm not ready for that. No, you're ready. You're ready. And really, if I would have just went by faith, even, I bet Brother Moore just would have been blessed. And I could have just went by faith. Maybe it would have just been wonderful. Maybe just, you know, I'm just saying, I'll never know. Because I chose not to be there. And we'll miss out on things. Now, there's somebody else that missed out on some things, and he cried great tears, but wasn't able to turn back the time. Do we know who that was? Well, let's start just real quickly. I'm going to end with this. In verse 12 of Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. See, we want to make sure it's lame, those things that are turned out of the way. We want to make sure that everything in our life is turned God's way.
Amen.
Not dislocated, not separated from God's best. Now, verse 14, pursue peace with all people, holiness, which without no one would see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. So we're talking about Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now you can liken that to somebody who didn't walk in their in Christ realities. That was his birthright, you know, the first one got all the goods, or at least half of them. But he got them first, and he got the first pick. There's different things you could go back and study on that. Now, in verse 7, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, if you read that in the, let's just read it in the Amplified real quick. I'll go there. For you understand that later on, when he wanted to regain title to his inheritance of blessing, he was rejected, disqualified, and set aside, for he could find no opportunity to repair by repentance what he had done, no chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought for it carefully with bitter tears. We can miss the boat. We can miss God's plan by consistently saying, okay, no, I'll be there next week. No, then something comes up. Well, I'll be there next week. Yeah. Something comes up. I'll be there next week. Like Pastor Nancy said, like the couple that were in church, but she was diagnosed with something, and then they left the church. And a year later came back, and she was in a wheelchair. And Pastor got revelation when she was praying for her, but she wasn't able to get her healing to her. She had been, her faith had been worn down. Dislocated, separated from the local church, got to a place where she had not become skilled in what she needed to do to overcome that crisis in her life. So there are things that we can miss the boat on. I'm saying get back in what you know is right. Come to these services and say, Father, okay, I lay down my preconceived ideas and I look at the knowledge of God's word, but I also hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to me. And I hear it through my pastors. I hear it through Pastor Nancy. Hear it through Pastor Ike. I hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. We're not trying to tell you what you need to do in life, but if the Holy Ghost speaks through us, and let me tell you something. If we've said it in a service, and we've said it again, and we've said it again, and we've said it again, the first time it was dire. I said the first time it was dire. Now, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, it's getting to a place where there's dislocation, and it's going to be tragic if something isn't done. I'm just speaking to a few people here who are not listening to your pastors in specific areas. Not everybody. Don't just jump on the condemnation train. But there are a few people in here we've been trying to tell you this is going to trip you up. This is going to affect your healing. But you think you know better. Amen. It's too hard. But let's get back on the train. Amen. Let's just repent. Let's just say, Father. And I'm not even saying you got to come to me and repent. I mean, just go to God. Amen. Say, Father, I'm sorry. And just start living. I mean, I got to take care of myself. Like I said, I had to talk with God before these meetings and said, okay, Lord, I need to get some things right here. I know that I need to, you know, and I'm not, you know what I mean. We all, every single day, have to get some things right. Sin is sin. But we've got to make sure, and there are certain things God is dealing with me about that if I don't listen, I'm going to miss the boat again. I don't want to miss the boat. Then there's going to be a diversion plan, and I may never be able to get back to the certain area, but eventually I'll get to heaven. Amen. But I may not have have had the blessings that God wanted. Why don't you stand up? That God wanted for me. That I've so desired in my life. And like Esau, he sought for it carefully with bitter tears, but he wasn't able to change time back. And how many know that he wasn't supposed to change it? He couldn't change it. He just needed to say, Lord, I'm sorry, and move on and learn how to navigate where he was and how to get to God's best from there.
Amen.
He wasn't going to be able to get his birthright back. Now, we all have birthrights in Christ that we never lose. We never lose them. But our ability to walk in God's best will be hindered if we don't follow and flow with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So let's hear what God says. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just lift our hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, let's just close our eyes. Nobody looking. Nobody looking. Just close your eyes and say, yes, Pastor, that's me. There are things that I need to get right. Need to get right. Need to get back on the right boat. I need help here. Okay? Thank you, Lord. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand so that I can see you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. Now, what I want you to do is just gently say, Father, I'm sorry. All of us say that. Lord, I'm sorry. For missing it. I plead the blood of Jesus. If I need to do anything else about that situation, talk to somebody. You give me light there. Otherwise, I lay it down by faith. Father, I need knowledge. I need understanding.
I need
wisdom. Now let's just thank him for his mercy. Let's thank him for his goodness. Hallelujah. Father, we are open to what you want for our lives. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you.